Right, we are in our second sermon in the I Am series, the seven statements that Christ makes in the Gospel of John, I Am. And we're going to be looking at I Am, the bread of life, this morning. If we could read John 6:35 together, we'll read 63 a little later on. But just for now, let's read together. It'll be projected for those of you who are naughty enough not to have a Bible on your lap. So I'll make sure you've got to realize it's the word of God that you're focusing on. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Shall we pray? Father, speak to us this morning. I pray that your Spirit will reveal the truth of your word to every heart that's able to receive it. We pray for those whose hearts are hardened and maybe, Lord, would not normally receive. Oh, Father, speak this morning. Speak through me by your grace and give ears to hear to those who hear, for Christ's sake. Amen. Do you realize what a strange thing Jesus is saying to us here? Do you realize that what he says here caused most of his followers to turn away from following him? I am the bread of life, he says. And if you want to live, he goes on to say, you've got to eat my flesh and you've got to drink my blood. Now, just try to imagine how the people that first heard these words must have felt. It must have sounded absolutely crazy. He says, I've come down from heaven and I'm bread. I'm the bread of life. And he says, if you want life in you, you've got to eat me. You've got to eat my... In fact, look at verse 54 if you have a Bible. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Now, this is what we're going to be looking at today. In our series of I Am statements of Christ, we're going to look at each of the I Am statements one by one. And today we're looking at I Am the bread of life. I would like to say most emphatically that what Jesus says here is something that's absolutely essential to the Christian faith. The seven I Am statements combined are the Christian truths in a nutshell. You've got to know these seven I Am statements. You've got to know what he means to be a Christian. So what does Jesus mean here today? Ego eimi hophostes kosmos. Hophostes zoes, hophostes zoes. I am the bread of life. What is this bread? Bread? White bread? Brown bread? Sliced bread? Is he talking literally here? Look at verse 33 if you have a Bible. For the bread of life, he says, is he who comes down from heaven. In other words, he says he's heavenly bread. And the bread he's talking about is not an it. It's a he. We also need to understand the grammar of what Jesus is saying here. When he says, I am the bread of life, we understand it as exegetes as being in what's known as the objective genitive case. When he says, I am the bread of life, he's not saying I am a loaf of bread with life in it. He's not saying I am the bread of life. He's saying, I am the bread of life. Let me give you a couple of examples of objective genitive just to help you. If I say a bar of gold, I'm saying gold in the shape of a bar. A stick of wood, wood in the form of a stick. A drop of water, water in the form of a droplet. Bread of life is life in the form of bread. Now this is important, because that means Jesus is claiming here to be life-giving substance. Those who partake of this bread, he says, will have life given to them. The life of God. So Jesus is claiming to be a very certain kind of bread. And he says, if you want life, you've got to eat this bread. And I am that bread. Do you know this is a major problem of interpretation that many have struggled with for 2,000 years? What does he mean by this? I'm the bread of life and you've got to eat me. Do you know that in ancient Rome, Christianity was outlawed by the government? It was illegal to be a Christian for the first 300 years. And we know that one of the reasons why Christianity was banned was this. It was believed that Christians were cannibals. You see, rumor had got around that whenever Christians met together in their meetings, they would eat a man's flesh and drink a man's blood. Many people thought that Christians were flesh eaters. And in our text, many of the people that heard Jesus also understood him in this way. Look at verse 52. The Jews then began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? You see, it sounded crazy. What are you saying, that I've got to eat flesh to be a Christian? Maybe this morning, if you're honest and you're not well trained in the Christian truth, you've got that thought going round in your mind as well. What on earth can Jesus mean when he says, I'm the bread of life, and if you want life in you, you've got to eat me? In fact, he speaks emphatically, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. What on earth does it mean? Are there any Roman Catholics here today? Are there any ex-Roman Catholics here today? Well, I'm sort of one. I won't explain now, but the Roman Catholic Church read these words of Jesus here, that Jesus is the bread of life, and they take these words literally. They teach that Jesus actually physically is bread that has to be eaten. They say that when the priest prays over the holy bread in their church, the bread is transformed into the flesh and blood, literal body of Jesus. They believe when they have their holy mass, which is like our communion, that when they put that bread in their mouth, they are eating Jesus literally, based on these words. They say, I have to eat Jesus to get spiritual life in me. So what happens is, when the priest prays a prayer, a miracle happens. They call it transubstantiation. The bread becomes the body of Jesus. And the Catholics believe when they put that bread in their mouth, they're eating the flesh and blood body of Jesus. Literally. They believe that the only way to get spiritual life of God into you is by eating Jesus. So Jesus gets transformed, transubstantiated into a piece of bread, and you eat Jesus. And if you say, where on earth do you get that from? They'll say, oh, John chapter 6. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. They take this literally. But what are we to make of Jesus' words here? We can't ignore what Jesus is saying. He does claim here to be the bread of life. He does say that he must be eaten by people if they want to receive his life in them. So what are we to believe by this? Well, let me now show you from this very same passage exactly what Jesus means by this, because you've got to understand this to practice the Christian faith properly. Jesus, when he says you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, is not speaking physically, bodily, corporately. He's not saying literally eat me. He's speaking spiritually. Look at verse 63. I've got it up here on the projection. Jesus says, the spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you. Did you get that? The words I have spoken to you, they are spirit. They are life. Jesus is saying here, hey, don't take my words literally. You cannot eat my physical body. In fact, he says here in this word, the flesh counts for nothing. These are spiritual words that I am speaking. Spiritual words. So how are we to understand what Jesus is saying here? If we're not to take these words literally, like the Roman Catholics do, how are we to understand it when he says, you've got to eat me and drink me? Do you realize that we live in a world of spiritual hunger? Do you know there is such a thing as spiritual hunger? Jesus puts it like this in Matthew 5, verse 6. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You see, just as the body hungers for physical nourishment, so the soul can also hunger and thirst for spiritual things. In fact, I'm pretty sure that most of you here today know exactly what I'm talking about. Have any of you felt ever spiritually hungry? You know, it's when you've got that appetite for love, truth, hope, peace, and you're longing for it and you're craving it as if you were craving food in a spiritual sense. Have you ever had that desire to feel the presence of God, or be in the presence of God's people, or be encouraged by God's word? Do you know what I mean by a spiritual appetite? I think that most of you will know what I'm talking about when I say spiritual hunger. It's that soul appetite for love, joy, peace, and hope. And what Jesus says here in John 6, verse 63 is this. This is the type of hunger that I, the bread of life, have come to satisfy. He says here, I'm not speaking in a fleshly way. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I speak are spiritual words. I am here to spiritually feed spiritually hungry people. Notice in verse 35, it doesn't say that the people who chew, swallow, and digest the bread of life will be blessed. Does it say that? It says those who believe will never be thirsty. Do you notice the eating is a spiritual eating? And this is soul food. Jesus makes it very clear here that he is the bread of life to feed the spirit. And if you read these words in context, that is exactly, clearly what he's saying. I'm the bread of life. But he says here, the words I speak are spirit. The flesh counts for nothing. These are spiritual words. Are you all with me? Okay, let me come to my application. Do you this morning realize that your spirit has an appetite just as much as your body has an appetite? Do you realize that your spirit needs feeding even as your body needs feeding? Do you realize there's such a thing as spiritual hunger? Do you realize that if you die without finding God in your life, you will die in a state of spiritual starvation? Do you realize this is the language Jesus is speaking here? In the old days, there was an old song in the 1980s, it's going to date me, but the song was, it's a pop song, "Everybody's Got a Hungry Heart." Come on, Bruce Springsteen fans. Everybody's got a hungry heart. What's a hungry heart? It's a hunger for things that are not spiritual, because you know your heart can get just as hungry as your stomach. God puts it like this. Amos 8 verse 11. If you want to look it up, Amos 8 11. God says this, listen. I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the word of God. You see, God tells us there is a need for spiritual food just as there is a need for physical food. And we are living in a world that is spiritually starving. You just got to look around you. Why are people in this world so unhappy? They can have so much stuff, but they're as miserable as sin. Why? Why is there so much alcohol abuse, drug addiction, broken marriages, deviant sexual behavior? I could go on. Why are people so miserable when they've got so much? Here's another old pop song for you. I can't get no satisfaction, but I try and I try and I try. People are hungry in this world. Not for physical food. There are McDonald's on every second corner. People are starving spiritually. They're starving for that which only Christ, the bread of life, can fill them with. Love, truth, hope, justice. The sad thing is, when you're starving, you'll eat any junk, won't you? I'll tell you a story. In 1870, any of you know your European history, the Prussian army surrounded the city of Paris. There was a siege. It went on for about 3 months. And no one could get into or out of the city. And the people in the city of Paris were starving. Do you know, by the end of the siege, civilized men and women were eating rats as their staple diet? The most common food in Paris in 1870 during the siege was rats. People were selling rats because there was nothing else to eat. They'd eaten all the horses and all the pets. You see, when people are starving for sustenance, they'll eat any junk, won't they? Just to feed themselves. And in this crazy, starving world, people who have a deep, hungry heart for love, truth, hope, purpose. What are they doing? They're running around chasing money and possessions and romance and alcohol and trips on drugs and all the rest of it. If you are hungry, you'll eat any junk to try and satisfy that appetite. The reason for this crazy world and why people are the way they are, the Bible says, is this world is spiritually famished. It's starving because it separated itself from God. And just as the body needs physical food, your soul needs spiritual nourishment. And this spiritually famished world is running around trying to find something to fill the gap. And this is what Jesus is speaking about in our passage today. The fallen human race has an inborn hunger for life, for truth, for hope. They might not know why they're so unsatisfied and why they're going from one car to the next, one job to the next, why people are never happy and satisfied. But the Bible says it's this: there is a spiritual starvation in this human race. And Jesus says in that context, I am the bread of life that has come down to this world. He who eats of me will never hunger. He who drinks of my blood will never thirst. And just to make it clear, he says the words I'm speaking here are spirit. The flesh counts for nothing. Don't be ridiculous. You can't eat Jesus, but you can feed spiritually on his incarnation in a wonderful way. Okay, are any of you particularly spiritually hungry this morning? Nothing, the Bible says, can feed your hungry soul but Jesus. Oh, the devil will offer you all sorts of junk food. You know, the funny thing about junk food is what? You eat it, and it plugs the gap for half an hour, and then you're hungry again. Ever found that with McDonald's? It doesn't nourish you. And the devil will offer you all sorts of junk food because the devil knows you're starving. And you'll go for anything, like the people at Rats in Paris. People will eat all sorts of things just to stop that gnawing hunger. And Jesus says this day to you, if you will hear, through his scripture, I am the bread of life. I'm God who came down from heaven in human form to take on your flesh. And I died, I poured out my blood for your forgiveness. Eat this in faith. Devour it in Christian confidence and you'll be spiritually fed. Jesus is the answer to a spiritually starving world. It's a sad situation though, because who will listen? There was a queen in France 200 years ago, Marie Antoinette. Remember the lady that lost her head? Well, she wasn't a very good queen. And she was told during a very bad time in France, Your Majesty, your people are starving. They have no bread. And she is reported to have said in a very nonchalant way, she couldn't imagine hunger. She'd grown up in luxury. And she said, what? They've got no bread? Let them eat cake. What a horrible thing to say to people who are starving. All they want is bread. Oh, they haven't got bread. Let them have cake. But you know, the devil says something even more mocking than that to this starving world. Well, they're dying from lack of the bread of life. Let them have alcohol. Let them have entertainment. Let them have EastEnders. Let them have what's on the TV. Let them have their social internet. Fill them with sort of junk. Let them eat all the cake they like, but they'll starve in the end. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He's claiming to be nourishment for hungry spirits. And if your soul hungers and thirsts for righteousness this morning, really? And if you know what I mean when I say you've got a hungry heart, then Jesus offers you today the gospel. Real, real nourishment, not cake, not junk food, the bread of life. Let's pray. Oh Jesus, we praise you for giving your very divine self to take on physical formation, that you could come down and feed us with the life that we had denied ourselves at the fall. Thank you, Jesus, that as we take of you, oh Lord, as we believe in you, as we drink by faith that wonderful message of the cross, as we feast on the story of the incarnation, we are fed and satisfied. We are given good food. Father, please, I pray for anyone here this morning, this afternoon, who may be spiritually hungry. Please communicate as only you can into their hearts what this means. And communicate to them, Lord, by your grace, what you are saying here. In Jesus' name, amen.